It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Criminal justice reform advocates are urging Governor Jim Justice to do more to stem the spread of coronavirus in jails and prisons.
So you're seeing situations where people are housed three to a cell that are meant for one person. Obviously, in those kind of crowding conditions, it's very hard to maintain any kind of safe distancing from anyone else.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Governor Jim Justice announced that another West Virginia county has been designated as a hotspot for COVID-19. As Dave Mistich reports, Marion County will join six others who have been allowed to expand the enforcement of public health guidelines.
Justice announced Wednesday that Marion County would be added to an expanded executive order. It directs local health departments to enact specific guidelines for essential businesses and the enforcement of social distancing practices. The order also offers additional resources through the National Guard and West Virginia State Police. According to the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, four people have died in the state as a result of the coronavirus. As of the agency's Wednesday evening update, 483 total cases have been confirmed across the state. DHHR's numbers show Marion County has 30 confirmed cases of COVID-19. On March 29th, an 88-year-old female from the county was identified as the state's first death related to the virus. Justice also said Wednesday that he is awaiting the release of rules on how federal aid might be used in the relief of the ongoing pandemic. He said that if funding could be used to backfill what's expected to be more than $350 million in revenue shortfall in the current fiscal year state budget, a special legislative session would not be needed. Justice said those rules are expected to be released on April 17th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
Most West Virginia residents are self-isolating to slow the spread of the coronavirus, but thousands employed or incarcerated in the state's correctional facilities don't have that option. State officials have been able to reduce the numbers of inmates, but some people say the population is still too large to enforce federal recommendations for social distancing. Emily Allen reports.
As part of its COVID-19 response policy, the West Virginia Division of Correction says it has been educating inmates and officers on good hygiene practices and federal recommendations for social distancing. However, the full policy is unavailable to the public. The agency says this is due to public safety and security concerns.
We can't publicize everything that's going on.
That's Brian Abraham from the governor's office, speaking at a virtual press conference on Tuesday, April 7th. Some advocates for criminal justice reform say that without seeing the full policy, it's hard to tell if inmates and corrections employees are being protected.
Some of the other issues we're hearing about is that inmates are not given access to tissues.
That's Jennifer Wagner, an attorney with Mountain State Justice.
Just basic sanitation, so tissues, paper towels, sufficient soap.
Since 2018, her firm has represented inmates in a class action lawsuit against the Division of Corrections, or DCR, over medical access concerns. Wagner says she has heard several complaints from inmates, including Donna Wells Wright, about a lack of hygiene supplies and space.
I mean, we're scared to death watching the TV. We don't really know what's going on.
Wells Wright was released on bond last week from North Central Regional Jail in Doddridge County due to medical issues.
When I got home and could actually watch the news, I was like, oh my God, you know, we could die in there.
On March 25th, Wagner's clients requested that the U.S. district judge in their case immediately address their concerns related to the potential for a coronavirus outbreak.
Our jail system is overcrowded. So you're seeing situations where people are housed three to a cell that are meant for one person. Obviously, in those kind of crowding conditions, it's very hard to maintain any kind of safe distancing from anyone else.
But on Monday, April 6th, the judge ruled against the inmates, instead siding with the State Division of Corrections. In an email, the agency said it does provide cleaning supplies to inmates at no cost, but stressed they are responsible for cleaning their spaces. DCR also said family members may not bring in outside sanitation supplies. A coalition of groups for criminal justice reform still have concerns. They are asking that Governor Jim Justice issue an executive order to address overcrowding and release more nonviolent inmates. Lyda Shepherd is a member of the coalition.
A lot has happened. I mean, there is certainly some progress being made, particularly around releasing pre-trial people who are being incarcerated pre-trial who cannot afford to make bail.
On Monday, the DCR reported nearly 4,400 people in its regional jails and 5,200 in prison. That's roughly 800 less people than were in jail on March 2nd. Since then, the number of pretrial inmates being held for state misdemeanors has also dropped from 583 people to 278 people as of Monday.
However, we still see that, you know, 4 out of 10 of our regional jails remain overcrowded.
With an executive order from the governor, Shepherd says, the state can release more people who are close to parole or those with health concerns, making the risk of COVID-19 infection more dangerous.
But we are emphasizing that these are folks who the Division of Corrections and Rehabilitation can really identify as low risk, who pose no threat to public safety.
The DCR answered some questions by email, but did not respond to a request for an interview with someone from the organization. Here's Brian Abraham again from the governor's office answering questions from the press about the issue at a recent virtual briefing.
But rest assured, the employees there do have matters well in hand. Secretary Sandy and Commissioner Jividen work day and night to ensure both the safety of the staff as well as those inmates at those facilities.
Reporters are able to ask limited follow-up questions at the governor's virtual briefings, and emailed questions to the governor's office have been ignored. The Criminal Justice Coalition is also asking the governor to address transitional housing and re-entry resources as more people are released. Re-entry has always been hard for individuals leaving correctional facilities, says Pastor Beverly Sharp. She's program director for re-entry initiatives for the West Virginia Council of Churches. But she says this pandemic is making re-entry harder.
All those safety net organizations that are typically available to them when they come out are not available right now. They either are shuttered completely or they're operating on telephones. And as you can imagine, when you come out of incarceration, if you don't have somebody there waiting on you, you don't have access to a telephone. You don't have access to a computer to apply for benefits.
The DCR reports there have been no positive cases among employees and inmates yet. Both groups have been tested. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51.
On behalf of everyone here, thank you for supporting WVPB's mission. There's no question that your past donations and current sustaining memberships have given us the ability to provide the highest level of service as the coronavirus continues to have an impact on our daily lives. It's the power of community support. We're working every day to better serve and address new needs as they arrive. We'll be here for you whenever you need us. Thank you.
Breezy today with a chance of rain, gradual clearing this afternoon, highs in the 50s, slight chance of rain or snow tonight with lows in the 30s. In many cities and towns, there are people in charge, and there are people who get things done. In the latest episode of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast, Us and Them, host Trey Kay speaks with an agent of community change in the Upper Kanawha Valley, a region hit by one economic disappointment after another. This man describes himself as a squeaky wheel. He connects people, helps identify realistic opportunities, and works to make things happen.
Last month, before the world was caught up by the pandemic and its consequences, I took a trip into West Virginia's Upper Kanawha River Valley. It was once a hotbed of coal mining operations, chemical plants, and now the region struggles. And that was before the coronavirus hit the state. The pandemic is creating new economic panic and adding even more stress. Kent Carper has lived in Kanawha County for a long time, and he's watched things change along the river around cities like Montgomery and Smithers. Carper is president of the Kanawha County Commission and likes to imagine the local economy as a three-legged stool. He says over the last two decades, this stool has been cut down leg by leg.
One of the legs of the stool was the coal industry, and it went from below ground to surface mining, and the jobs were cut by like 90%. That was one leg. The other leg was the chemical industry, globalization, overseas, transportation, interstates. That took away a lot of the chemical jobs that were rich in the Upper Kanawha Valley. Then the state of West Virginia on their own sawed off the third leg, and that was when they closed Tech. Tech in Montgomery, West Virginia was considered internationally as the leading engineering school in the world. I understand why they closed it and they moved to another town, but that devastated the Upper Kanawha Valley. That was the last leg of the stool.
But as I talked more and more with people in the valley and around the communities of Montgomery and Smithers, I started thinking about it differently. I wondered, what if this stool was really a chair? And what if the fourth leg was the community and the people who lived in it? You see, more and more people kept talking to me about this guy named Joe Slack.
If you want to know what is going on in this part of Kanawha County, Joe is the guy to talk to.
That's Dan Taylor. He's the campaign manager for a candidate running for one of West Virginia's three congressional districts. And he says Joe is this region's connector.
My name's Joe Slack, and I work for the West Virginia Turnpike, and I also do community work.
Joe is being humble. To say that he does community work is a bit of an understatement. I ran into Joe last summer at a church event in Kanawha County. He'd been texting me off and on since we first met about a year and a half ago, and he had an invitation for me. The local churches were gathering to address some of the challenges of the region: opioid abuse, land development, and even water quality issues. The more Joe and I talked, it became clear that he knows a lot of people, and he uses that knowledge to bring people together. Just like the West Virginia Turnpike, Joe connects the people of the Upper Kanawha Valley who need help from organizations that offer aid. And it sounds simple, but it's really a massive undertaking. Joe works full time, and he spends much of his free time talking with people. And he has people texting him at all hours of the day and night. Joe also helps local officials understand what's going on in the Upper Kanawha Valley, on the ground level, even if that means he sometimes has to blow up a local politician's cell phone with text messages and phone calls.
Yeah, I do it a lot. Even if you have to become a nuisance to somebody, but you get the job done, then you've got the job done. That's the problem. Everybody says it can't be done. Everybody feels like that it's hopeless up here, and it's not. You just got to tag the right people and keep tagging, you know, until they listen.
We've been listening to an excerpt from the latest episode of the Us and Them podcast called The Connector. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. This episode of Us and Them is presented with support from the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation and the West Virginia Humanities Council. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.